Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 23rd, 205th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, St. Bernard's principal. And what else are you? Looks like you had bottle washer today.
What's that, bottle? Oh, yeah. I was moving heavy things, yes.
Yes. The Natalie attire, Dave Sharp. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, it's summertime and I'm working inside. And you've been outside playing today. You tell me.
It's nice outside.
Yeah, that's what I understand. The rumor is.
Should get out more often.
Everybody, you know, Aaron mentioned that a couple times this morning. Some of the guys in the office did also. It seems like it's a groundswell. I guess I'll have to get outside a little bit. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about resurrecting a program and continuing an existing novel program. Two different things. We'll wind them together when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from the Donald. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Watch, listen, and learn. You can't know it all yourself. Anyone who thinks they do is destined for mediocrity. That's not bad, huh?
That, I wouldn't, if you were to read the quote first and then ask me who said it, I probably wouldn't say Donald Trump. That's good.
Yeah, nice to know. Even some of the guys who many of us think know it all don't know it all.
Exactly.
And recognize it.
Yeah.
What is one of the biggest surprises that you're dealing with now? This is what, your third rodeo?
First day of school, yeah.
Yeah. What's the biggest surprise that somebody who's not part of the culture of St. Bernard's would think getting ready for the first day of the prep, what would be the stunner?
What's the biggest surprise? I think kind of, because we're K through 12, it could be a couple things. First, I'll look at it through the eyes of maybe a high school student, and that would be just to sit down in your first class on your first day and look and see, wow, there's a good mix of students here. There's local students that I may know some of, and there's also a contingent of international students, Asian students. That could be a big surprise, certainly. And then I think on the elementary side, just sort of how close and connected all the teachers are with the parents and the students, and looking at that and saying, wow, that's kind of nice. I can't wait to get to the point where I know everybody like everybody else knows each other and really be a part of it. So
in the opening, we talked about the international program, or alluded to the international program. One of the cool things is that it's not seen as unique anymore. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's, well, certainly inside of the halls, it's more and more accepted that the St. Bernard's of today and of probably the next 100 years as we celebrate our 100-year anniversary is one of a mixed population of local students and international students from China and South Korea and Thailand, Vietnam, and perhaps even other countries as we move forward. It's really added a new dynamic to St. Bernard's, but the dynamic has seemed to become less of a dynamo and more of just accepted culture at St. Bernard's, and for good reasons too. We've been able to attract very good international students who do well in class and get placed in some very good universities, and those that just contribute a different perspective to us as teachers who work there that might not otherwise see in a student, but also to their classmates, to know of someone from a foreign country, one as incredible as China in particular, is got to be very beneficial for that local student who is really expanding their horizons to branch outside of the county lines to find man, there's a whole world out there, and I need to probably think with a more worldly view, because that's really where this planet is going.
Is it a surprise for the parents with first-time kids, whether it's at the elementary, junior high, or high school, that there is such a degree of international mm-hmm. flavor? Mm-hmm. Or is it almost anticipated?
I think once they are told about the program, how it started, the fact that we have this facility on campus that houses 40 students, that they hear the story and learn a little bit about the students and say, oh, that makes sense. That's a good idea. And so it becomes less of a, oh my gosh, you know, where did they come from? To, oh, I'm glad they're here. This is good.
It's kind of intriguing for me, having been associated when it started. You see the kids now walking around the neighborhood, and either in the Henderson Center mm-hmm. area of Eureka or at some of the different shopping places. Mm-hmm. Nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
It's seen as anticipated, rather than being something unique or extraordinary mm-hmm. or the rubbernecking and all that kind of stuff. So I guess maybe it's merged into normalcy.
I think so. Certainly for the Henderson Center area and the merchants there, I talked to Mary at Valentini Baking Company, and she's always saying, oh, you know, they're the nicest kids and they're all so polite. And yeah, it's kind of within the culture there of Henderson Center. And I think also as they go downtown and have dinner.
Staples knows them also. Probably yeah, by first name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or any of the electronic stores.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. Yeah. And the mall, too. They like to go to the mall. So, yeah. And you know, they come from cities that are millions and millions of people. And to kind of go into, you know, a place, a store in Henderson Center a second time and be recognized and say, oh, hey, good to see you again. That's really new for them. They don't really get that interaction.
Welcome to small town.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is the same place you grew up. Oh, but you can imagine that there is probably a little bit of a culture shock just by size. Not language, but just by size.
When the tallest things are trees, not buildings, yeah, it's big change.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:19. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with St. Bernard's President Dave Sharp. Dave, the concept of the international kids being part of the culture, part of the academics and the environment, is there an effort by the school to branch out more than just the Asian kids? You referenced them. Mm-hmm. I know in the past, though, there have been kids from other areas, other states, other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. Is there an effort to do that, or are the Asian cultures kind of easy pickings because they want to come here and you really don't even have to sell them too much on the concept?
That's part of it. And you could probably, if you look back, sort of traced global economics to our enrollment from those particular countries. As we've seen China grow into really a superpower, it's allowed more and more of their young families to come into wealth and be able to afford this opportunity to their students. But there's also some things at play within their educational system that lends itself to wanting to have their children educated in America. In particular, in China, students, really their entire career is based on one test. I suppose call it the equivalent of the SAT, but it's really a two-day test that they spend hours, weeks, months, years preparing for. And if they place in the top percentile, then that determines which school they go to.
Or this is pre-high school, or is this determining college?
Determining college, yeah. And so there's a major effort to get students into the very elite high schools in China. And when you may fall short of that, but still have aspirations to send your child to a very good university, the other option is let's look at America.
How do American colleges and universities stack up against those elites, that top 1%, do we do as well?
I've heard it generally put that in China, it's much harder to get into a university, but once you do, you can get through it fairly easy. Where here, it may be fairly easy to get into a university, but once you're there, it takes some good work to complete that degree. That's probably the best general way that I've heard it put.
Kind of like climbing a mountain, you hit the plateau.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you make it, it's considerably less stressful then.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The academic output at the end of the process, comparable? Or let's say one of these, a Chinese outfit looking to hire somebody, and they've got a Chinese kid. Mm-hmm. Let's forget the language part. Mm-hmm. From a Chinese college, and they've got the same kid from an American college with a specialty or major in that area. Mm-hmm. Are they interchangeable?
You know, I think there are certain things that students are exposed to and learn here in America that they might not be otherwise in China. For instance, just a sense of business ethics. In China, business is much different in a emerging communist to capitalist economy. So there's a certain, how should I say it, but sense of going about business in China that's more favors, more, you know, playing politics, if you will, than perhaps the process here in America, where a student that learns at an American university will have a sense of, you know, working with people and appreciating them for being a person that's productive. I think we've read in the newspaper and seen in the news recently just about these factories in China that are mass producing electronics and some of the working conditions there.
Oh, where, I thought you were going to say Olympic sweatsuits.
but
we take a detour. when the kids themselves come on campus first year, mm-hmm. kid, how long does it take for them to, I hate the term mainstream, but get acclimated into the culture of the school and the culture of the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. It usually takes half a year to a year. Okay, some students come back from Christmas break and they know what to expect when they come back in the classroom and off campus as well. And some take about a year to adjust. And, you know, the primary adjustment is just the language and feeling comfortable to talk to your classmate that is from this area and learn about them and where they come from. So language is a huge, I wouldn't say barrier, but just stepping stone. They come to our school with an understanding, a grasp of English, but using English in an English-speaking country is different than learning English in a Chinese-speaking country and using it every day.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
So are there programs to kind of meld the two mm-hmm. together, like a freshman class and you've got international kids, domestic kids, to compress them so that they become a single unit?
It's actually been something that we've overlooked to a degree in the past. And so we have made an effort this year in those new dorm staff members that we're hiring to find out what their ability is to bring communities together, especially those from different backgrounds. So we have some new staff that understand both cultures and want to connect them in a way that's productive and also, you know, benefits the school and the community.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with St. Bernard's President Dave Sharp. Dave, I know you want to talk about the music program, but I'm having more fun with the international.
Yes.
So, yeah, we may pluck a string in the last one. This bringing the two cultures together, the international kids as well as the domestic kids, and putting them together. It's it sounds like you're on the cusp of something if it's not been done before, because the kids have been doing it anyway, one way or the other. One of the things that my understanding is a lot of times the international kids either come from family backgrounds where we wouldn't have a lot in common. You know, they employ 4,000 people, and, you know, the dad gets and drives whatever he wants, and so does mom, and so does junior. Or on the other side, where they really are putting everything out on the table for the kids to be educated, and we don't understand that one here either. As you're trying to bring the cultures together, I believe food is a big commonality. Are you talking simple things like barbecues and, for a lot of the Chinese kids, getting them to learn how to bake cookies, how to mix a brownie thing and then have it something that's their product from their, well, from the their hands that opened up their box that they bought from the store. And kind of, you know, letting them see some of the things that are going on, but perhaps experience other things, but everybody can share in the end product.
You're right. Food's a great way to bring people together. And I think that if we actually knew what Chinese food was, we would like it even that much more, because it's different than what we receive and eat here.
Yeah, the Americanized.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, in looking at next year and bringing the groups together, that's one way to do it, because they love to cook. And we have the storm facility where it can hold, you know, quite a few people, and have our students, our domestic students, celebrate within really the international students' home with a nice meal and get to know each other through that way. Yeah, the family dynamics
good,
are.
Don't forget the good food fight too.
Well,
do that one outside, but yeah.
Exactly. There you go, outside.
Catch your bottles at 25 paces.
Outside, yeah.
Yeah, outside.
But yes, the family dynamic is incredibly different, especially, you know, we're used to having, you know, siblings here in America, even though the size of families is shrinking. But that's something that's not foreign to us, where a lot of our Chinese students are only children. And mom and dad, yes, they do wait on them hand and foot. And so, yeah, there are a lot of things that they can learn from us and we can learn from them. And food is certainly, I think, a good way to bring the two sides together. For instance, last year we have an international club who put on events. Last year they put on a Korean dinner, and they served Korean barbecue beef called bulgogi. And I went to Banana Hut? Hawaiian barbecue the other night, Saturday night, and saw it on the menu and remember, man, that was really good, and ordered again. And yeah, it is pretty good. And had I not had that experience, you know, I my world of barbecue beef would not be the same.
Well, we wouldn't want to see that diminished at all.
No,
would we?
No.
The cultural components. Yeah, I think when I was in fourth grade is when we did, like, Japan and the kimonos. And I think it was the first time I had ever tried watercress. And some of the other, didn't try sushi, or if I did, I wasn't a free spirit at that time. Are there opportunities for the kids from all the cultures? You know, if it was me and as a student, okay, let's, you know, do the German thing. For everybody to kind of have the opportunity to explore and then present their heritage kind of on an even playing field?
You know, after we had that Korean dinner, there were some families that said, you know what, I'd like to make an Italian dish for people that want to purchase a ticket and have dinner together. So since that event, it's really kind of opened up people to that sort of thinking, where let's include everybody here. There's a lot of good food out there that we're really proud of and we want to, you know, serve to others. So we're actually having a little new leadership within the international club that I've tasked them with, let's branch out and go beyond Asia to enjoy some of the other delicacies of the world.
Except that octopus.
Who eats
Greek,
that?
The Greek, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The squid and the just something about rubber.
It's chewy. Yeah.
Used bubble gum. Yeah, they just kind of, they're all right there for me.
We'll keep that off the menu.
Yeah. Now, is that something that you're doing inside the school, or would you want to also take that and do an outreach into the community at large?
I think they kind of go hand in hand. You know, for instance, I mentioned, you know, a family wants to prepare an Italian dish. We do have a family that owns an Italian restaurant that goes to St. Bernard. So, and there are others that own restaurants that we could say, okay, let's tie this in together and, you know, make this a school event, but make it available for the community.
Yeah, because I would think that would be really cool, particularly for the international kids. Mm-hmm. If they had a chance to strut their stuff, not just amongst the classmates, mm-hmm. but 300 or 400 other mm-hmm. people also. What a kick mm-hmm. that would be for them.
We are planning a luau in the fall that will bring you know, some dancing and some pig in the ground and some just
beer
some good
ice.
Time.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Jumped right to the song.
Okay. Thanks.
Phew. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Monday, a little Monday night football going on?
Yeah. It'll be a Tuesday night event, yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, some of those things I would think is a great opportunity for folks to be part of mm-hmm. something special. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy. America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times. 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Okay, it's your turn. You can strut about your music program now and your choir.
Well, music is something that we have not had at St. Bernard's for about 3 years now. We're very excited that we've hired a new full-time music teacher to lead our music program and to develop it into something very special from the preschool level all the way through high school. And we have a very talented lady that will be the music teacher, Kathy Lyth, very much into choir. She was the director of the Redwood Coast Children's Choir and still works with them. And is very, very, very experienced. Someone we're very excited to have to bring music back inside of the walls of the school. And also the dormitory, too, because we have a lot of talented international students who are very talented musicians, in particular piano, some with guitar, and many that sing. So here we have this facility that used to house sisters, the previous convent, and if the walls could talk and you know, all the music that had been played in there, and to bring it back within that facility, because actually her classroom will be in the dormitory, to have international students alongside domestic students singing, dancing, learning music together in that facility is just going to be pretty magical.
By the kitchen?
So, oh,
the
yes.
The food component, sorry.
Well, the dining room will be in the middle.
You lost that already. Gee.
I forgot to write it down. But we're very excited to bring music back in to the school at all levels, from preschool on up. And I think that's something that, you know, a school should have and should be able to celebrate and, you know, expose our children to. There's many wonderful lessons and things that could be learned, and we're happy to have her and music back at St. Bernard's.
For the little guys as well as for the older kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the teachers, too. We'll be singing and dancing. She won't let anybody sit out. It's going to be full participation.
I'm trying to remember. What was the... There's a Disney movie where one of the characters... Oh, Happy Feet. Can't sing, right? And screeches. Always leave a room in the corner for me.
She did say that nobody has a bad singing voice, so...
yeah, right. There's a reason why you have talk radio here instead of singing radio.
I get
here.
It.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't want to lose everybody in one afternoon. What are some of the things that are going on now? Summertime normally is a downtime, but it's also a preparation time as well.
It really is. From waxing the floors and painting walls and just getting the school back to where it needs to be on the first day of school, to a lot of teachers coming in, preparing their lessons for the year, getting their classrooms in order. It's a pretty busy time. Of course, there's not a lot of students in the building, but administrators and teachers just getting ready for the start of the school year. And it's looking pretty positive. We're very excited about the direction we're going. Enrollment, we are projecting at the most a 5% increase. So somewhere from 0 to 5% is where we expect. We're ahead at this point in terms of enrollment as we compare to this point in the summer last year. So things are looking up. We still expect some applications to come in, and we add students throughout the year, but school starts August 22nd. And
the single most exciting thing you can't wait for the kids to see this year?
Well, I can't help but think about the football team and the success building on our first winning season since 1999. That's a fall sport. That's kind of where I'm thinking and leading towards. But also, having been to China last year, I was able to interview and meet a lot of students that are coming here to school this year. So to see them again, to get them excited about coming to St. Bernard's and getting them into the community, really looking forward to it.
Hope you enjoy your summer a little bit instead of having to hang out in the building all the time.
Well, I'm going to Hawaii next month, so.
Oh, never mind. I'll take care of that one. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.